Now, please, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that I read a little earlier, Romans chapter 1, and I'm focusing this morning on the verses 6 and 7. If you want to follow in your pew Bibles, it's page 939. Page 939, Romans chapter 1. And this is what those two verses say, verses 6 and 7. Where Paul says, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. I'm asking the question this morning, what is a Christian? This is one of the most important questions that we can ask ourselves. There are two reasons for this, why this is such an important question. It is an important question because only those who are Christians as defined by the Bible, only those who are Christians will enter heaven. So you see, it's a serious matter. We need to examine ourselves. Well, I call myself a Christian. I claim to be a Christian. I believe myself to be a Christian. But am I really a Christian? Am I a Christian? Because this will decide whether you spend eternity in heaven or not. So it's important we have a very, very clear idea of what is a Christian. Because only those who are Christians will be in heaven. But there's a second reason why this is such an important question. It's because those who are Christians, you need to grasp who you really are. You need to grasp your status, your condition, so that you may truly love God and worship God and walk with God. Do you know it's a fact, really? That those who are Christians, those who are born again, but are lukewarm, those who are half-hearted in their commitment to Christ, those whose lives, Christian lives, are unstable, one of the main reasons is because they've never grasped who they are. They've never fully understood what a Christian is. It is possible to be a Christian and not fully grasp all the blessings that God has given to us, the wonderful status that we hold in the kingdom of God, and the promises of God that are true of us. It is possible to be ignorant of all these things and therefore to live a half-hearted life and to miss out on some of the greatest blessings that are found on this earth. So if you're a Christian here this morning, I urge you to listen because you need to understand who you are. I believe this will be a cure for half-heartedness, for lukewarmness. What is a Christian? Well, these two verses, verses 6 and 7, there are three things here. I'm not going to be doing anything highly original. I'm just going to walk through these verses 6 and 7, pick out three things that are there, the three prominent things that are there about a Christian. And I will explain to you and apply what this means. In the first place, a Christian is a person who belongs to Jesus Christ. A Christian is a person who belongs to Jesus Christ. Do you notice what he says in the opening statement in verse 6? He's writing to these people who are in Rome. This is a group of Christians who are in Rome. And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to them. And Paul says to them, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We heard in our family talk this morning about a man who was free, Captain Phillips. He was captaining this ship. And he wasn't a hostage when the ship set off and it was taking this grain to needy people. He was free of slavery. He was a free man. And then these Somali kidnappers came, the pirates, and they took him hostage, and he becomes a hostage. He's no longer free. You saw that phrase, you belong to us. Apparently, this was something they actually said to him. That line, apparently in the movie, came from the original script, you belong to us. But then the US sends the SEALs, and the SEALs go and rescue him, and he's once again free. He is liberated. Do you know, in that story, you actually have the story of the human race since creation. We human beings were created free. When God created Adam and Eve were not slaves to anybody. Adam and Eve were not held hostages by anybody. God had created Adam and Eve. And God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And God said to Adam and Eve, I've created all of this for you. And you go and enjoy my creation. They were not hostages. They were not slaves. They were not in any way restricted. There was one law that God had made. And it wasn't a restrictive law. It was from a loving father. But then sin comes into the world. Satan comes. And Satan tempts Adam and Eve. And Satan takes them hostage. This is what the Bible is about. This is what Genesis chapter 3, where we read about the entrance of sin into the world. This is what it's about. It's the devil taking the human race into captivity. It is like those Somali hostages, the Somali pirates coming alongside the ship and taking the captain hostage. The human race has been taken hostage into sin and by the devil. But then there is a rescue operation. It isn't the US SEALs. It isn't the SAS. It is the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mike put up on the board one of the finest verses in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. That's it, isn't it? That in one verse, verse 13, you've got the gospel. God has delivered us. God has removed us from the kingdom of darkness. God has brought us out of slavery to sin, out of slavery to Satan. God has brought us out, and God has transferred us. The New King James has conveyed us. It's a lovely word. It gently brought us out, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. We belong not to sin. We belong not to Satan. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to listen carefully, because what you are then saying, if you're not a Christian, is, I'm still in the kingdom of darkness. I'm still in the kingdom of Satan, and I'm still under the power of Satan. You need to be delivered. And I was quoting in my prayer those words of the Lord Jesus, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Christ invites you today, and Christ says to you today, if you are in sin, if you are in the kingdom of darkness, call out to me, and I will remove you from the kingdom of darkness and bring you into my own kingdom. Don't remain in the kingdom of darkness. Come to Christ. He doesn't say to you, you must put your life right, you must do this, you must do that, before I give you salvation. Salvation is a free gift. It's a gracious gift. He gives it joyfully. And he says, come and you will have salvation. And if you're a Christian here this morning, take hold of what I'm saying in this point, and take hold of especially what the Bible is saying there. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Do you know the number of times in the New Testament this idea is brought to Christians who are living half-hearted lives? Christians who are lukewarm in their commitment to the Lord. Christians who are dabbling with sin. Christians who are dabbling with the world. And Christians who are attracted by the world and by the attractions of the world. The New Testament brings this teaching to them. And it says, you belong to Jesus Christ. How can you then, you who belong to Jesus Christ, how can you then go into sin and commit sin and live lives of sin and dabble with the world? Don't you understand? You belong to his kingdom. You are in this kingdom, in God's kingdom, in Christ's kingdom. Have you not grasped this? And you know, belonging to Christ is not a burden. It's not a drudgery. It's a joyful thing. I know of nothing better. Can I say this to you entirely sincerely and honestly? I praise God that I am a Christian and I belong to the kingdom of God. I praise God for it, because the amount of joy that you have, the amount of fulfillment that you have for being a Christian, belonging to Jesus Christ, the world can offer nothing. The pleasures of the world are as nothing compared to the pleasures and the joy and the fulfillment of belonging to Jesus Christ. Christ is all. And Christ is lovely. And Christ is wonderful. And Christ's heart is filled with love and mercy and grace and compassion. And Christ loves his people. We're going to come to that. And Christ gives his people joy. Do you know Christians who dabble with the world have never discovered the joys of the Christian life? We get deceived by the devil. And the devil says, do you know what Christianity is? Duty. Drudgery. Boring. Do you know what Christianity is? You go to church, you sing boring hymns, you listen to boring sermons. Do you know where fun is? Fun is in the world. It's a lie. There is no greater joy than being a Christian, belonging to Jesus, walking with Jesus, serving Jesus, being like Jesus. There's no greater joy than that. So the first thing about a Christian is that he belongs to Jesus Christ. He has been rescued from sin and darkness and brought into the kingdom of God. The second thing about a Christian, it is this: a Christian is a person loved by God. Look at the second line, the opening part of verse 7. To all those in Rome who are loved by God. That's his description of these Christians in Rome. Do you notice he doesn't say to some in Rome who are in the church, some of you, God loves you. Doesn't say that. Do you notice that? Do you notice that comprehensive word there? To all those in Rome. He's writing to the Christians of Rome. He's writing to the people who at one time were in darkness and have come into the light of the gospel. He's writing to people who are now Christians. They were pagans, or they were following Judaism or some other religion. They've become Christians. They've become members of the church in Rome. And Paul writes to them and he says, if you're a Christian, you're born again, you're a member of that church, he says to you, I want to say this to you, you are loved by God. I want to tell you something about the love of God this morning. The love of God is a gracious love. Now, what does that mean? It means it doesn't go up and down depending upon our behavior. Human love is like that. We all, and I'm ashamed to say this, we all love in this way. You have a friend, and that friend is good to you. That friend is generous and kind to you, and you get on well, and you love that person. And then you find out after a while that actually it's all been a show. They've been talking about you behind your back. They don't actually like you. It's all been put on. And our love for them declines. It might even die. And you think, well, I don't love that person anymore. Because our love is like that. Our love depends upon the behavior of the person. God's love doesn't. God's love is a gracious love. If you're a Christian here this morning, God loves you. And that's it. That's a statement. God loves you. His love is called the steadfast love. These verses in the Bible, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. The love of God is a gracious love. Enjoy it. Bathe in it. Rejoice in it. And respond to it. Again, it's a cure for half-heartedness. It's a cure for lukewarmness. Why is it so many of us are so unstable in our Christian lives? It's because we've never fully grasped the love of God for us. We've never fully explored the depths of God's love for us. We've never really looked into it and rejoiced in it. We've never enjoyed being loved by God. The love of God is a gracious love. Second thing I want to say about the love of God is this. It is the Holy Spirit who brings that love to us. It is the Holy Spirit who brings that love to us. A little later in this same letter, this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's chapter 5 and verse 5. God's love, he says, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He uses in that verse a word which my Bible translates poured. A better translation, I know this English word doesn't exist, but a better translation would be Niagara'd. You get what I'm saying? It's like this mighty waterfall. Have you ever seen the Niagara Falls? It's like this mighty waterfall and billions of gallons of water going over it all the time, constantly, never stopping. That's the kind of word that he has used in this verse. The love of God, he says, has been Niagara'd into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you're a Christian here this morning, ask the Lord to pour his love into your life. Ask him to pour his love into your heart. His love is an energizing love. His love is a motivating love. We are moved to love him and serve him because we experience his love. It's a tremendous experience to be loved of God. It fills our hearts and minds with joy because we know we're loved of God. I don't know who the people in Rome were to whom he wrote these words. I know some of them were Jews and some of them were Gentiles. And I'm sure many of them had been slaves or were slaves, and others perhaps held high position in society. Perhaps there were people in the Roman army, people in the Roman civil service, perhaps politicians, business people who belonged to this church. Because the gospel is for everybody. And Paul writes to all of them. Paul writes to the government minister who has become a Christian and is attending the church. And Paul is writing to the army commander who has become a Christian and is attending the church. And Paul is writing to the millionaire businessman who has become a Christian and is attending the church. And Paul is writing to a slave who has become a Christian and is attending the church. And Paul says to all of them, to all those who are in Rome, who are loved by God. A Christian is a person who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is a person loved by God. And then thirdly and finally, a Christian is a person who is called to be holy. A Christian is a person called to be holy. That's what the second part of the first, the opening words of verse 7 says. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Let me very quickly explain the word saints, because it's a misunderstood word. Saints does not refer to a few particularly holy Christians. I know that's how it's used by some churches, that, you know, there is St. Augustine and St. Anna and so on. And we talk about these people who were particularly holy and particularly special and so on. And they are the saints, and we call them the saints. The Bible does not use the word like that. The Bible says if you're a Christian, you're a saint. You may find that difficult to believe. You may say, what on earth are you talking about? I tell you, it's the truth. The Bible says this to you. If today you're a Christian, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're loved by God, you're in the kingdom of Christ, you've been forgiven your sins through the death of Christ, you're a saint. What does it mean? It means you've been set apart. It means you've been brought out of darkness into God's light. It means God is at work in you by His Spirit, transforming you into the image of His Son. This is one of the greatest privileges of being a Christian. The Holy Spirit of God Himself lives in us. The Holy Spirit of God himself is powerfully at work in us. And the Holy Spirit of God himself is transforming us into the image of Christ. You read the Bible, you read about the Lord Jesus, and you read what a lovely person he was. Every time I read the Gospels, my heart is warmed, your heart is warmed, because you meet Jesus. And you're meeting the loveliest person who ever walked on this earth. Kind and gracious, compassionate and merciful, loving and self-sacrificial. What a lovely person. And the Bible says miraculously, the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us is transforming us into his image. We are becoming like him. Can you believe this? I am becoming like Jesus Christ. Yes, I am, because the Spirit of God is at work in us. It is he who is doing this work. Now, of course, we must keep in step with the Spirit. And there are these instructions in the Bible. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not frustrate the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. He is at work in you. So don't become worldly minded. Don't become half-hearted. And don't become the kind of Christian where you have no real direction. Keep in step with the Spirit as he transforms you into the image of the Son of God. What is a Christian? Well, I hope it is of encouragement to us this morning to see this. And I hope it does help us in our daily Christian lives. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You belong to Christ. Glorify God in your bodies. That's what the Bible says, because you belong to him. Walk with him and love him because you belong to him. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person loved by God, a gracious love, a steadfast love, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. What is a Christian? Called to be a saint, called to be holy, brought into God's kingdom, and the Spirit of God at work in us, transforming us into his image. Keep in step with the Spirit. Do not quench him. Do not frustrate him. But keep in step with him, because you belong to him. Let's pray.